Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Dennis Toft. He is a member of CSG Law and chair of the firm's environmental law practice. In fact, he's one of the most prominent environmental attorneys in the state. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
There's a lot of places we can go. I wanted to start really with an update on a conversation that began about a year and a half ago. You and I were on a panel at a Chamber of Commerce event in Atlantic City exploring the progress on federal infrastructure spending and what was happening in New Jersey and whether the state was moving fast enough. I wanted to get an update on that because as NJBiz is reporting just this morning, the Gateway Development Commission is awarded the first real contracts for that work to start, and there's actually going to be shovels in the ground very soon. Is that a sign that activity is picking up? Because the consensus back then was that no, the state was not really doing everything it could to get these projects moving, and that there needed to be a whole raft of reforms to kind of get things going. I'm curious, from where you sit, do you see activity picking up in any real sense?
Yeah, we definitely see activity picking up on a number of different fronts.
Okay.
Some of them are similar to what we spoke about on that panel, and some of them in ways that were unanticipated and unexpected. Gateway Tunnel is a great example. DEP, when it finally adopted the new inland flood hazard rules, actually was creative in the way they handled pending transportation projects.
Okay.
One of our concerns, and they created sort of a what they call a legacy situation now at DEP for transportation projects because of the fear of the impediments where projects were almost shovel ready and now would have to deal with new permitting issues.
Okay.
So the concerns were addressed by DEP in the rulemaking, and I think DOT is doing a great job on several different fronts. We have projects coming down, maritime highway projects, for instance, things like that from the feds and the state, where DEP seems to be in an understanding mode that those projects are important.
Okay.
The other interesting thing about the infrastructure money, which we didn't anticipate back on our panel, is more at the federal level. EPA got a whole lot of money for the Superfund program under the Inflation Reduction Act and the infrastructure bill on a couple of different fronts. One is direct appropriations for sites in New Jersey that had been sitting without being cleaned up for years because EPA didn't have the money and there were no responsible parties to clean them up.
Okay.
So we're seeing activity at the federal level as a result of the infrastructure money on lots of fronts, which is good, both because the sites are getting cleaned up and because then they become available for redevelopment. The Superfund tax was also reauthorized by the federal government, and
okay,
that gives EPA even more impetus to start moving these sites. So it's good. I mean, it's not necessarily good if you're a responsible party, but it's good and for New Jersey in the sense
right,
that sites are getting moved ahead.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. You touched on a couple of things that I wanted to get into a little later, the flood rules and the Superfund sites. But just continuing on this subject for a moment, one of the questions that arose again during that discussion was about permitting. You mentioned what the DEP's attitude. The governor signed a bill designed to streamline permitting earlier this year. Has that had an effect, or is it really just sort of an attitudinal change on the part of the DEP, or is there real substantive movement now on permitting?
The permitting has gotten a little bit better.
Okay.
The impediment really isn't attitudinally, it's just a lack of staffing. And EP is overwhelmed in many respects. They had a huge loss of experienced people during the pandemic as people were retiring, just like they were throughout the world. There were a lot of new people who were getting trained up, and they had a huge influx of permit applications in July, and they're now working through that backlog. So while they are working to move projects ahead, I think they're resource limited in many respects. And also just the question if you have relatively inexperienced people who are learning on the job, and that that's contributing to delays.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because it came up as a major problem, and it continues to come up. And I'm curious to know how that was working. Another, again, another thing, and this is not just related to infrastructure spending, has been generally the lack of coordination among levels of government, state, county, local. Have you seen any improvement there? Again, in the context, not only just in infrastructure spending, but in general, about moving things forward along those lines.
It's still an issue. It's still a problem. A lot of what we try to do in our practice is help connect the dots among various levels of government and even among internal sections at the DEP, where site remediation may not talk to land use. And we sometimes have to force the issue and either create the communication chain or otherwise help to move the process ahead, even internally at DEP. Sometimes it's between the governor's office and DEP or other avenues of state. And sometimes it's getting state, local, county, and among state agencies all on the same page.
Okay. All right. So what does the future look like? I mean, again, on this issue, infrastructure spending, I mentioned the movement on Gateway. What do you think is going to happen over the next, several months into next year? Or is the pace going to continue to pick up, or are there more impediments that need to be overcome?
I think the pace is going to continue to pick up.
Okay.
The regulatory impediments are going to be the regulatory impediments. I think what we're starting to see now is even more so on the private sector. I mean, the government money is great, but some of the projects we've been working on where they were being held up, where they needed to go for financing because of interest rate risk and things like that, we're now starting to see signs that there's a breakthrough on that front.
Okay.
So a lot of the projects that were incentivized, with infrastructure money or tax credits, are now going to be able to fill in the remaining piece of the financing and be able to start moving ahead. And that's particularly true in the green energy space.
Okay. Well,
notwithstanding.
Okay. You anticipated my next question, which was about the green energy space, because that's a major point of emphasis for the Murphy administration, which has resulted in some pushback from folks who think that the state's moving too quickly. Murphy's coming for your gas stove, that kind of thing. Was it trying to move too quickly? Was the regulatory apparatus, was the state just not ready for the kind of ambitious goals that he set?
I think there was part of that. That is true. I think you have to set ambitious goals, or otherwise you're never going to achieve anything.
Okay.
We've seen recently the clean car proposal come out of DEP. I think that was something people long anticipated. I think it's going to be a slog to get New Jersey to that point. I don't think people are ready to give up their liquid fuel powered vehicles yet.
Doesn't sound like it, no.
But I think if you don't push the issue, then nothing happens, right?
Yeah.
So we clearly need to continue to move to a more green economy and more green power. People may dispute that, but that's the reality of where the world is. And you can push it from government either by incentivizing it or by setting new rules. And I think there has to be a combination of both. Having said that, it's got to be balanced. It's got to be fair or rational. You can't, on the one hand, say, as DEP did in an advertisement, the clean car rules, goodbye local gas station, without recognizing that there are impacts of that beyond the drivers. They're the people that work there, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to push it, but at the same time, you have to do it in a measured fashion.
Okay. Now, another thing you mentioned was the flood rules. You wrote about that over the spring, I remember. What's your assessment of what the administration produced and the process that went into that? Again, did they do the right thing?
I think recognizing that sea level rise and climate change is real, regardless of whether you want to debate the cause, something had to be done. I think they tried to do a very measured approach. They took a long time and listened to input from a lot of people. Like I mentioned, they did tweak the rules a little bit with respect to transportation projects. They made the rules more fair with respect to people who had invested in projects in terms of what we used to call grandfathering. Now they're calling legacy projects.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did listen. The full impact of the rule is yet to be seen.
Right.
Clearly, there's more land regulated now than was the case in the past. And what that means going forward, too soon to know.
Okay.
People are going to need to elevate sites. People are going to need to look at sites differently. But in terms of the inland rules, it's too early to know. I do think generally DEP's approach right now is safety of the public first. And, you know, people learn from the past, and Hurricane Ida was a wake-up call to the state.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's a wake-up call, that's for sure. You mentioned the Superfund sites. Brownfields redevelopment site remediation is, again, one of your specialties. And I recall, at least before COVID, that was a major, a major point of emphasis in the state to try to get some of these sites back into productive use. I got the sense that kind of stalled during COVID. I'm wondering if I'm right about that. If not, set me straight. And B, if the momentum has picked up again. And in general, what's the status of those kinds of projects these days?
So, their projects really didn't slow down that much during COVID. Okay. The drivers of the market changed. So the biggest driver of Brownfields redevelopment estate was the huge surge in demand for industrial space and the lack of available sites other than Brownfield sites. So a lot of sites that people wouldn't have gone close to years ago are now either being redeveloped or in the pipeline to be redeveloped. Things like closed Superfund sites, for instance, or closed landfills, because those are the sites that are available. The state has been helpful to the extent it can, both in recognizing that these are the sites that should be redeveloped. They also are trying to do a push in certain areas, particularly in environmental justice communities, to have those sites addressed.
Right.
We have the Licensed Site Remediation Professional Program in New Jersey, so the remediation are most often done under that program. The state is working on improvements to the program to make it better for everyone, including the state. So those are underway. But the biggest push during COVID and up until interest rate markets went crazy was the demand for industrial space. And that has died down, but it's still there. The other big push from the state, looking at minority and disadvantaged communities, the environmental justice communities, is to try to push for cleanups and redevelopments in those municipalities so that sites that were abandoned are now the subject of litigation where the state is pushing to get them cleaned up and ready to be put back into productive use.
Okay. So there's still activity. It's generally chugging along, as it were.
Chugging along. You know, the demand side has somewhat shifted from just straight industrial to more even green energy uses for these sites.
Okay.
But it's still going along.
All right. Well, that's I was curious about that too, because again, we've chronicled the demand for industrial projects and industrial sites and the backlash that it's created. I'm curious whether your clients are still seeing that, particularly with regard to warehouses and other kinds of, you know, heavy, for lack of a better word, heavy traffic uses. Are municipalities continuing to push back against that?
Depending on the municipality,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Depending upon the community, yes. We see pushback on sites, varies all over the place. Typically, that seems to be happening more on greenfield sites than on brownfield sites.
Sure.
But there still is some pushback out there in spots.
Right.
The Highlands area, for instance, Highlands Council put out its own warehousing policy, which has to be addressed if you're looking to do industrial development in the Highlands zone.
Okay.
So things like that are out there. And it like everything else, it's got to be a balance.
Okay. All right. So what are the most common problems you're hearing about now? I mean, we've talked about a bunch of different things, but what are business, the owners, executives, what are they most concerned about now at this point?
It's a variety of things. One is what permits do I need and how quickly can I get them?
Sure.
And what it's going to cost. And we try to help manage that process for folks. The second one is, what is it going to take for me to clean up this site? What risks do I need to take into account? And how do I make adjustments for them? A third one, going to be an increasing problem, particularly with the change that already happened in the inland flood rules and the change that's going to the coastal flood rules, is where do I get fill to elevate my site?
Okay.
Where are the sources? Does it have to be clean fill? And then just the whole litigation side of it. All right, who's going to pay for this cleanup? I didn't cause it. Can I recover the costs? What are my risks going forward with respect to those cost numbers?
Okay. Interesting. All right. And so, and what should they be worried about? I mean, are there actual, threats to economic growth that businesses should be concerned about at this point?
Well, look, there are always some threats out there to economic growth, but in terms of,
I'm talking generally about specifically about, environmental regulations, land use rules, those kinds of things.
Well, I think it's a question of understanding the process going into it so that expectations can be managed and that realistic goals can be set.
Okay.
So it's important when considering a project to look at it up front and to communicate with the DEP up front or the federal government up front and to talk through what the process is. DEP has a great program involving permit coordination. And it's very helpful to get in early, to talk about what you want to do, and to set the parameters for how you're going to get through the process. And then you have a point of contact at DEP to help you through it. Not everybody takes advantage of that, but it's a great program to run. The second big thing is to understand the community where you're building, what the community's needs are. Environmental justice law applies to certain types of projects. But even if you don't have one of those types of projects, if you're in an environmental justice community, you need to pay attention to the community needs and wants. And even if you're not in an environmental justice community, if you're going to build something that's going to be controversial, you need to understand that that's part of the process and manage it. DEP is responsive to community input.
Okay.
And you need to manage that up front if you can. Sometimes you can't. But you at least need to be aware of it and need to take it into account that when you're going through permitting.
Okay, interesting. Finally, before I let you go, I'm curious about what you're expecting over the next couple of years. We obviously have a major national election coming next year. The year after that, a gubernatorial election with an open seat. Are you expecting any major legal regulatory changes over the next couple of years? Or is there something that you see that's out there that folks should be aware of that's coming down?
Yes, on a couple of fronts.
Okay.
First, we have the coastal rules coming out from DEP, probably sometime this fall,
okay,
which are adjunct to the inland rules that were adopted earlier this year. That affects the rest of the state. It's going to be a major revamping of coastal policy in New Jersey, affect how everything is built in tidally flowed areas. That's number one. The second thing is we're going to continue to see impacts from emerging contaminants and how they're being managed. We've all heard about PFAS and PFAS compounds. Everybody is out there looking for them. Nobody quite knows what to do with them.
Okay.
I think the third thing is the green economy is going to continue to create opportunities and potential risks. We heard about Ørsted's issues concerning the wind project, but beyond wind, solar has gotten a big boon. BPU making community solar permanent, I think, it is a great adoption by them and something that could go a long way in a lot of areas. You're going to see other green projects come out, whether that's renewable natural gas, whether it's hydrogen, all those things are in the mix. And those can be good for New Jersey. They will be economic drivers and they need to be permitted carefully and considered very carefully. So all those things are going to happen. On the federal side, we're going to see more activity by EPA. They now have money that they didn't have before.
Right.
We're going to see different activity from Army Corps with respect to wetlands. We had the Supreme Court limit their jurisdiction, and the impact of that in New Jersey, primarily in the Meadowlands, remains to be seen.
Sure.
So there are always going to be changes. There are challenges going on to various rules. There's a challenge up in the Supreme Court to the way EPA does rulemaking, which, if the challengers win, could seriously change the regulatory climate on the federal level, and that may redound to the state level, where deference to the agencies may no longer be the norm. So it's an interesting time because you have a very conservative Supreme Court,
right,
that said things differently than the current administration might. Where that leads to in New Jersey remains to be seen. I don't see that same misalignment among New Jersey courts and regulators, but it still could happen here as well. And certainly on the federal regulatory side, it could happen. And then, like with everything else, you're going into the last year of the Biden administration, where we end up there, your guess is as good as mine. If the administration changes parties, whatever that may be, clearly that leads to a change in the regulatory environment.
Absolutely.
On the federal level. On the state level, you're going into the last couple of years of an administration. The departures from state government, which is part of the normal course of how things happen, the departures from state government are already starting.
Sure.
What can be accomplished in the next 2 years remains to be seen. The environmental justice rules were adopted. They're subject to challenge. They're being implemented. The coastal rules, I think, are a major goal for this administration to implement within the timeframe it has left. They are proposed this fall. I would expect them to be adopted a year from now. And that's going to be a change for all coastal programs in New Jersey. So there's a lot, as always, there's a lot happening.
Okay. Well, that's a good place for us to leave it, because I hope you'll come back and talk about some of these things as they develop, because as you say, these are interesting times, and I think they're only going to get more interesting over the next couple of years.
I would be happy to. And as I hear about some of these projects going forward, Jeff, I'll make sure you find out about them.
Absolutely. Thanks. I appreciate that. Dennis Toft, member of CSG Law, chair of the firm's environmental law practice. Thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. And thank you for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.